Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, here with producer Nate Vaughn, coming to you from Vikings Entertainment Network Studios at Winter Park. It's the NFL's business season right now. The NFL calendar is hot year-round, and right now the hot topic is free agency, which began on Wednesday and will continue for a couple of weeks. All of the big-time stories and talkers are happening right now, but free agency is not a one- or two-day deal. It's going to be a 2 or 3 week deal, and there'll be lots to talk about in that time. But right now, we're going to talk about a little bit of Vikings news, some things that happened right before free agency began at 3 p.m. on Wednesday. The Vikings getting some business done, getting their books set so they knew where they'd be financially for the new league year. Andrew Sandejo resigns with the Vikings. Now, at first, the reaction that I saw from a lot of fans was some disgruntlement or some head-scratching on why the Vikings would do this, but it does make some sense. The team does not confirm contract details, but a lot of the reported numbers for Sandejo represented like 2.5% of what will be the 2016 salary cap. So to me, it's a nice bump for Andrew Sandejo, but it's also a fair price for the Vikings. They didn't break the bank for him. They get a player who can be a quality backup. They get a player with some starting experience, and they get a guy who can be a core special teams player for you. Also, this signing does not preclude the Vikings from continuing to try and add talent to the safety position, whether it's in free agency or the draft. It ensures a key cog on special teams. Sandejo led the team in tackles in 2014. He was third in 2013, fourth in 2012. And it ensures the Vikings will have some depth at safety, because aside from Harrison Smith, the Vikings have a couple of young players on the roster at safety, Antone Exum Jr. and Anthony Harris, who's an undrafted free agent. So you keep Sandejo in the mix, and you got a little bit of depth. So that was a big piece of Vikings news that happened over the last few days. Another one was the release of Mike Wallace, which saves the Vikings a big chunk on the salary cap. Mike Wallace is now a free agent. He can sign anywhere. You always hate to see players go in this league. That's one of the bummers that can happen in the league. Players get hurt, or you have to part ways with players. And Mike Wallace was, from a guy in the locker room, from a leadership perspective, and from just do what it takes to help the team win games perspective, Mike Wallace was everything you could ask for. And I know he came to the Vikings from Miami with one reputation, but was nothing like that. He was a pro here, and he's no longer a Viking. He's a free agent. A few other things the Vikings did: they re-signed the following players: Adam Thielen, Carter Bykowski, Audie Cole, Zach Line, Kenrick Ellis, and it sounds like Phil Loadholt is going to be back for the time being. So it's good to have Big Phil back as he continues to rehab from an injury that cut short his season before it even began last August. So, Nate, a lot of stuff happening in the league right now, a lot of stuff happening with the Vikings, but this really is a fun time of year as you're constantly on your phone checking Twitter, on your computer checking the internet to see what's going on. Lots of NFL news stuff happening right now.
Yeah, I mean, besides the combine so far in the NFL offseason, it's been sort of the most talker-worthy topic. It's always fun to talk about new talent acquisition, new players, where they might go, what players might leave, especially teams in your division, and what those teams might look like and how that might be different from previous years. One of those teams for us, the Detroit Lions, looking at a little bit of a change on their offensive side of the ball.
Calvin Johnson announcing his retirement. It was something that was rumored to potentially happen once the 2015 season ended, and now it does indeed happen. Earlier this week, Calvin Johnson and the Lions made it official. And so that drastically changes the look of one of our division rivals, the Detroit Lions. It changes their offense a little bit. And I'm not saying they're going to change their scheme or their style of play, but certainly an integral part of that offense is no longer there. Calvin Johnson has retired. Vikings fans, Nate, you and I, we've gotten to see Megatron up close for his entire career, essentially. You know, he played against the Vikings twice per season, so I saw every one of those games in person, and the guy is a beast. And, teams drafted and signed players with the thought of going up against Calvin Johnson in their head, you know, the Vikings, Packers, and Bears. because they knew they're going to have to go up against that guy twice a year. The Vikings actually fared pretty well against Calvin relative to other teams in the league. Did some number crunching. And to wrap your mind around it, it actually works out great because Calvin played 16 games against the Vikings. So that's like a season. And so you think, what are good numbers for a receiver to have over the course of a season? What are great numbers for a receiver to have over the course of a season? What are terrible? Here is what Calvin Johnson did in 16 games against the Vikings. 81 catches, 1,095 yards, 9 touchdowns. But the number that stood out to me the most, only 2 100-yard receiving games against the Vikings.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so, listen, I mean, Calvin Johnson retired. I think he's worthy of being in the Hall of Fame. And so we're not here to downgrade him. But I'm just saying the Vikings saw him twice a year, and I think the Vikings did a pretty good job against Calvin Johnson. If you look at the rest of the NFC North, the other three NFC North teams combined on a per-game basis gave up to Calvin Johnson 5.5 catches, 81 yards, and just under 1 touchdown per game. The Vikings gave up 68 yards a game to him. So, 13, 14 fewer yards per game on average the Vikings gave up than the division did. So the Vikings did a pretty good job, had some great battles with Calvin Johnson over the years. Of course, the 2008-2009 Vikings defenses were very good going up against Calvin Johnson. And then recently we've had Xavier Rhodes to try and combat Calvin Johnson. So some really good battles between the Vikings and Lions during the Calvin Johnson era. And the last thing I would say on this is, Calvin Johnson and Adrian Peterson came into the league the same year, 2007. They were both first-round picks. Calvin Johnson went second overall to the Detroit Lions. Adrian Peterson went seventh overall to the Vikings. Well, fast forward to 2015, which now it's 2016, but through the 2015 season, their numbers are eerily similar. Rushing yards for Adrian Peterson in his career, 11,675. Receiving yards, Calvin Johnson for his career, 11,619. Very similar. Yeah. Adrian, 97 touchdowns. Calvin, 83. 100-yard games, 100-yard rushing games for Adrian, 49. 100-yard receiving games for Calvin Johnson, 46. So pretty interesting that these two have had careers that have paralleled each other. And to us, over the last almost decade, Adrian has been face of the franchise, the engine of the offense, the heart and soul of what we do. Calvin Johnson has been that for the Detroit Lions, and the numbers bear that out. So farewell so long to Calvin Johnson, one of the greats to ever play the game. Quite a 2021 potential Hall of Fame class.
Yeah, it's shaping up to be a pretty good one.
Calvin Johnson.
Number 18.
Peyton Manning. Charles Woodson.
You got three sure fires right
there.
Very
solid. So hopefully the Viking goes in 2021 because it'd be awesome to be in Canton, Ohio to watch those three guys go in. Speaking of people who know Calvin Johnson, let's go to Mike Nolan, who has been a head coach and defensive coordinator in the NFL. And he's had his battles with Calvin Johnson over the years. He was recently on NFL Network. He wasn't talking about Calvin Johnson or the Detroit Lions. He was talking about your Minnesota Vikings, and he had some good things to say.
What team really excites you the most as you look forward here to free agency?
Well, it's not on that list, you're right, and it is kind of in the middle of the pack, but the Minnesota Vikings really excite me a lot as far as where they're headed, where they've been for 2 years. I think that Rick Spielman, and since Mike Zimmer has gone there, have done an outstanding job in the draft. They've put together a really good roster. I believe that they're among the tops as far as coordinators go. I think Norv Turner is one of the best in the league on defense, obviously with Mike's experience, but I think they've got a great coaching staff. I do believe that Norv manages the quarterback extremely well, but just as they played this year, if you notice their games, I mean, they're an up-and-coming team that I think is really on the upside. But I also believe that this year, I think this coming season in 2016, they could very well be the Carolina Panther type of a surprise as what goes on.
And how much of that has to do with this is a franchise that has a young quarterback to build around, and they've been doing that now for the last 2 years?
Yeah, that has a lot to do with it. I know Norv is very high on the player. I know he likes him a lot, having spoken with him, having played the Minnesota Vikings. But I don't believe he's quite there yet. That's why I say even in the playoff game, I thought that Norv did a great job of managing his play.
Well, a Carolina Panthers comparison.
You could do a little bit better than that, but not much.
No.
You could do about one team better than they did last year.
And really, not a lot different with how the Carolina Panthers were constructed with that one team, the Denver Broncos, right?
I mean,
defensive-minded, defensive-dominated teams. So really some nice words there from Mike Nolan about the Vikings. The thing that stood out to me, aside from the comparison to the Carolina Panthers, which is great because Carolina was such a good team, is the he was really high on the coaching staff. With Mike Zimmer and North Turner specifically, and also credited Rick Spielman with the job he's done in the draft. So, it's interesting because Mike Nolan is not a career talking head on NFL Network or ESPN.
Right.
That's basically a coach. And I don't know if he's in between jobs, if he's looking for another job in the league, or if he's going to do TV now or not, but he is not a seasoned career-long talking head. He's pretty much giving it to you straight right there. That's a coach talking. And so he recognizes what Rick Spielman, Mike Zimmer are doing here in Minnesota, likens it to what the Carolina Panthers did last year. And sounds like he thinks Teddy Bridgewater is on the right track, but isn't quite there. And it sounds like he loves the Vikings defense, which are things that we've been talking about here on the Wobcast and all over Vikings.com for about a year now. So nice to hear that from Mike Nolan. Mike Nolan gave Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer credit for what they've done in the draft. But I think since Mike Zimmer has gotten here, he and Rick Spielman have done a good job in free agency too. And we should talk about that because free agency has now begun this year in 2016 for the NFL. But looking back on what the Vikings have done in free agency the past 2 years, the Vikings have done fairly well. Let's go back 2 years ago, before Mike Zimmer's first season with the Vikings.
After he was named coach.
Right. So after he's named coach, but before we've played any games, he and Rick Spielman and the scouting staff and coaching staff get together, and the three big names in the free agent hall that year, Linval Joseph, thumbs up.
Big person. Not so much a big name at the time, but turned out to be a good investment.
Yes. So thumbs up there. Captain Munnerlin, thumbs up there.
Yes, sir.
2015, much better than 2014, but it did... 2015 did turn out to be a great season for Captain. I thought he was key for us, especially late in the season, playing in those cold weather games and in some of those big games with postseason berth on the line. Captain was nice to have. And then Tom Johnson, again, not a star name, not a splashy name, not a name that's going to create headlines on NFL.com for your favorite team, but he's had a profound impact on the defense. Tom Johnson gets a thumbs up, right?
Yes, sir.
And then re-signing... Joe Berger and Matt Asiata, which the Vikings have done since Mike Zimmer's gotten here. Those were a couple of key re-signings. Joe Berger started all 16 games for the Vikings in 2015. We go to the 2015 offseason, and a couple more names, regular starters. Signed Terrence Newman, played 16 games for us and the playoff game, so 17 games. Even started at safety when we were in a pinch at Arizona on Thursday night. And then Mike Harris, another name, it's not a household name, but started 16 games for the Vikings at right guard. Offensive line, a position where the Vikings have been banged up the last 2 years, including this past season when both Phil Lotholt and John Sullivan wound up practicing all offseason and all of training camp, but then not being able to play in the regular season. Mike Harris did a good job of stepping in there. So Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer have done a very good job, not just in the draft, but also in free agency, signing some key names, and I look forward to them doing so once again this offseason. Let's continue... the nostalgic theme that we have going right now and looking back and look back at the best free agent signings in Vikings history. Now, you have to keep in mind, you're not going to hear any players from the 60s, 70s, and really the 80s because free agency wasn't really a thing until the 90s. So keep that in mind. We are not young pups, prisoners of the moment. Free agency is relatively new when it comes to the NFL continuum. So these are fairly new players, but looking back at some of the best free agents the Vikings have signed in history, we have five that we want to mention right now. Let's go back to 1997. Randall Cunningham, out of football for a year. He missed the 96 season. Randall Cunningham, signed by the Vikings in 1997, displayed no signs of rust, had the best season of his career in 1998, and guided the Vikings to a 15-1 record. His touchdown-to-interception ratio that year was 34-10, which now you see that from a certain number of guys every year. But back in the late 90s, that quarterbacks weren't doing that. So obviously a great free agent signing for the Vikings there in Randall Cunningham. Number four, a kicker. Who might it be?
I'm going to guess Ryan Longwell.
That's it. 2006. Ryan Longwell, as steady as the day is long, a key part to two division-winning teams during his 6 years with the Vikings. third all-time scoring in Vikings history before Blair Walsh started rewriting the Vikings record book for kickers. Ryan Longwell did it, and now Blair is kind of rewriting some of those records that were set by Ryan Longwell after the team signed him in 2006. We'll stick in 2006. Pretty good free agent haul for the Vikings that year. Steve Hutchinson, a member of the 50 Greatest Vikings. He was a dominating road grading run blocker, a surefire pass protector in six seasons for the Vikings. Helped the Vikings to the NFC title game in 2009, earned four Pro Bowls when he was with the Vikings. An invaluable part of those offenses, blocking for Adrian Peterson once the Vikings drafted him. Speaking of the 09 title game, the man who is driving the ship, at least on the field that year, Brett Favre, is number two on my list of the top five free agent signings in Vikings history. He tortured us for 16 seasons as a member of the Packers. He teased us before being traded to the New York Jets, then finally joined in 2008, and then finally joined us in 2009. And I think he may have had his best season in his career with the Vikings. 33 touchdown passes in 2009, a passer rating of 107.2. Got the Vikings to a 12-4 record, the NFC title game, following a season in which the Vikings had already been pretty good. They were 10-6, but they improved on that from 2008, got to 12-4 in 09, and got the Vikings to the brink of the Super Bowl. But the number one free agent signing in Vikings history. Got a guess?
I have a guess, but I'll keep the listeners in suspense.
Okay.
The number one. I can see through your paper.
Oh, you can. You're sneaky.
Sorry.
Antoine Winfield. Vikings signed him in 2004, and in my opinion, that was an easy selection. With all due respect to some of the other guys who the Vikings have signed, I think this is an easy selection. Rare blue chip cornerback who could play in the slot or play outside. One of the rare players who outperformed the expectations that were placed upon him after signing a big free agent deal. A lot of times that's what you see happen. Guys sign for big money and they can't quite perform to the level of that contract. Well, Antoine Winfield did. He played in 119 games over nine seasons with the Vikings. He was named to the 50 Greatest Vikings. Twice he recorded a single-season team record for tackles by a cornerback. He now holds the Vikings' record for most fumble recoveries by a defensive back with 11. He's tied for second in team history with 12 forced fumbles by a defensive back. He scored all five of his career touchdowns with the Vikings. So, in my estimation, the best free agent signing in Vikings history was Antoine Winfield.
All right, we'll move on to a few fan questions.
Hit me with them.
David from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, has the first question.
Okay.
He says, I'm curious what you think of Jay Howard. I think he could be a good run stopper for us, and also using him on the edge in certain situations. Could be a steal, says David. What do you think?
Well, I like to consult my in-house expert on the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's producer Nate Vaughn, who was with the Chiefs at one time. Was Howard there when you were there?
He was, yes.
Okay. Yep. From afar, seems like a good player, quality player.
He did play well. He was sort of a utility defensive lineman. You hear about utility offensive linemen that can switch positions. He was sort of that on the defensive side with playing 3-4 defensive end and even subbing in for a Dontari Poe at nose every once in a while.
There you go. So there's the breakdown. Yeah, from afar, he looks like a good player. Like it'd be, you have Linval and Sharif as your starters, and I think that Howard is probably good enough to start for a lot of teams, but he might come here and not start, but that'd be okay. It's gone very well for Tom Johnson. So, but you also have Shamar Stephen here, a player that you want to develop. You got the draft coming up, which is loaded with players along the defensive front. So I'm not sure if it's something the Vikings would do or not, but to answer the guy's question, what do we think about Jay Howard? We both think that he's a very good player, and I'll be surprised if the Chiefs don't try and keep him. I mean, that's the one thing to remember about free agency is these guys, you can only sign them if the teams that they're on don't want them and let them go. So
interesting that David brought up the name Jay Howard. He's not a flashy name you really hear a lot about.
Yeah. Well, we have educated listeners.
I guess so.
I mean,
those Sioux Falls Chiefs fans.
Yeah. Well, there might. I mean, that's kind of neutral. You have Augustana College in Sioux Falls. They're the Augustana Vikings. They are in the five-state area, which the Vikings like to claim. And I'm sure the Vikings are the most popular team in South Dakota. That would be my guess. But you are in neutral territory because there is no pro team in South Dakota. So maybe he is a closet. Maybe the Chiefs are his AFC team.
Yeah, that we can work with that.
Yeah, I'd be all right with that.
Zach on Twitter, Zach Albareda.
Mm-hmm.
He asks, and you're going to have to help me with this name probably, what happened to Kaleche Osemele?
You got it right. That's it.
How did we let him go to Oakland? That's what Zach wants to know.
Did Rick
Wobby, how did you let him go to Oakland?
Did we have him on puppet strings? Like, you know, like we were like, we don't want you, Kelechi. You're going to go to Oakland. I mean, that's the other thing about free agency is when your team doesn't sign the player you wanted, you know, it doesn't mean that they didn't try or they didn't want to. It's up to the player where he goes. And so whether the Vikings were interested in Kelechi or not, I don't know. But it's not like they let him go somewhere. You know, Kelechi gets to go where he wants to go. And obviously he wanted to go to the Oakland Raiders. From what I understand, they are paying him very handsomely. And now I think if Asemele does indeed sign there, Oakland's got a pretty nice offensive line. Rodney Hudson they got from the Chiefs. You're familiar with him. Very good center. They got Donald Penn at left tackle. Gabe Jackson, I believe, at right guard. And if they add Asemele as a left guard, pretty solid offensive line there for the Raiders. But, you know, when your team doesn't sign a free agent, it doesn't mean they didn't go after that guy. It doesn't mean they didn't like him. You know, these players get to decide where they want to go. The ball is in their court.
And finally, a message of almost encouragement from Dustin Melby.
Okay.
He reassures us. He says, the subject of not being flashy in the free agency suggests that we either have a team we want for the money and we believe that we have a better chance in the draft than anything in free agency.
Uh-huh.
It can also mean that they are not sure what our chances are next year for a chance at a ring.
Okay.
That is usually the reason for picking up an almost for sure playmaker.
Okay.
To give you that chance of going further. Skull.
Skull.
Sort of like Peyton Manning ended his press conference the other day with Omaha.
Yeah.
Dustin signs off with a all caps skull.
With some exclamation marks?
A few.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. He's excited. Yeah, I mean, he's hit on a good point. Well, I guess the first part of his question is a good point, that especially the Vikings and Rick Spielman, they look at the draft as the bloodline of this team, as the primary way to add players to the roster, to build a team that can compete for an extended period of time. If you can hit on your draft picks, that's the way to do it. And then re-sign those draft picks, which the Vikings have been doing. You know, re-signing Blair Walsh, re-signing Kyle Rudolph. Hopefully they're going to be able to do that with Harrison Smith. Obviously they've re-signed Adrian Peterson a couple of times. Hopefully Teddy performs in the manner in which the team will want to re-sign him. So that's the way to build a winner. I think that when you view free agency as your salvation or as your primary way to build your team, I think you get in trouble. You overspend for some players, and when you overspend for some players, you don't have money that you're going to need to re-sign some of the draft picks you've hit on, which would be a huge bummer. And so I think if your mindset is like, oh, we're really close, let's get these two players to put us over the top, I really caution that mindset, because this is a team sport. The football is the ultimate team sport. You're never one or two players away. It's going to take all 11 guys on the field every time to make it happen. And look, Denver added to their team via free agency, and it was very impactful. Aqib Talib, DeMarcus Ware, TJ Ward. You know, those are big time, big money free agents, and it worked.
Oh yeah, and Peyton Manning.
Oh yeah, and Peyton Manning too.
That guy.
Yeah, he kind of mattered.
So that was more of the exception.
I think it is, because for every Denver that does that, I think you can look back and find the teams that splurged in free agency and spent $50 million, $60 million cap dollars only to have it blow up in their face and have to do it all over again the next year. And so, you know, I look at free agency as a way to supplement your roster, supplement what you're already doing. I do not look at it as the primary way that you build your team. All right. I think that's everything.
For now.
Is your notebook empty?
It is.
Okay. Mine too, but a lot's going to happen between now and the next time we post a Wobcast, which will be next week. Free agency has kicked off, and you're going to see lots of signings. You're going to see lots of players released, and then they're going to go and sign with other teams. And there's just going to be lots of news and lots of headlines to digest, and we're going to help you do it all again next week when we come back to you with another edition of the Wobcast. Until then, and on behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. This edition of the Wobcast is over. Have a good rest of the week. So yeah.
Hey.